have a good time. This is Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. The Islamic world produced the first skilled, specially trained pharmacists who made their own medicines and worked closely with medical doctors and physicians. A 13th century Islamic writer described the circulation of blood inside the human body some 400 years before this was discovered in Europe. One famous hadith Islamic saying is, "Allah is beautiful and loves beauty." Beauty has always been, therefore, very important to Muslims and develops in the virtual arts such as architecture, calligraphy, painting, textile, metalwork, and ceramists were encouraged. Greetings once again, dear listeners, and thank you very much for listening to Iran Radio, coming to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's take a quick look at what's coming up next on today's broadcast. We begin with A to Z of Life. After that, we present a specially selected edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Foresight, hosted by Sayyid Shahriyar Naqvi. This enlightening program features prominent English-speaking scholars from across the Islamic world, focusing on the practical dimensions of worship and servitude to Allah, all within the context of modern-day challenges. It's an invitation to explore the intersection of faith and real-life responsibility. And finally, we bring you Ulama's speech. Coming up next, A to Z of Life. Stay with us. There is much to discover.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, The Busy Father. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z here on I'm Being Radio with me, Sister Zainab, and obviously talking about the father's role in the raising of the children is hugely important. Now, traditionally, we would put special emphasis on the role of the mother, and we, of course, we still do, especially in Islam, because obviously the mother is the one who, one of her biggest roles is to actually raise the young and to raise this wonderful new generation. But obviously we do see many fathers very actively involved in the raising of their children. And that is even though, obviously, even nowadays in our very modern, crazy world, many fathers are very busy. And even with both parents sometimes working, sometimes fathers are out of the house even more than the mother still. Now, I just want to refer briefly to one particular thing from the life of one of the famous martyrs of the Holy Defense by the name of Sayyid Jan Bozorgi. Now, he, again, obviously was very busy. We're talking about, obviously, our martyrs would have been, sent to the front. They would have been away at the front a lot of the time. But then, when they were actually at home, or also this also refers to some of the martyrs, because some of the martyrs did not actually get martyred on the battlefront. Some of them got martyred after the Holy Defense, dying of really horrible injuries or diseases from their active duty in the Holy Defense, basically. But so Sayyid Jan Bozorgi, he was very engaged in teaching his son. So, for example, he would actually himself teach him some of the shorter surah of the Quran. And it was even said that he would recite poetry to him. And, you know, this is quite special, really. Welcome back to A to Z here on I'm Being Afraid with me, Sister Zainab. And so obviously I'm talking about how active some fathers are in the raising of their children. And obviously I've just given the example of one of the famous martyrs from the Holy Defense, Sayyid Jan Bozorgi, who would teach some of the shorter surahs to his son. And, you know, this is something we do see in some families, that the fathers will take this very active role. So not just, so I'm not talking about just, you know, for example, if a father comes back from work and just sort of double checks, you know, the sort of question, or the typical question, especially when children are sort of in high school, that sort of age, might be, oh, how have you done? Oh, are you up to date with all your schoolwork? Have you done this? Have you done that? To actually encourage the children to do more. So whether that is to, let's say, so I'll talk about various things. So for example, to sort of try and get them engaged. And just, for example, also in keeping themselves healthy, so really sort of being engaged in, for example, encouraging them to take up particular sports, which is really good for their overall health and fitness. So actually taking them to whatever it is, whether they're playing football, whether they're doing a martial art, even just taking them, let's say, to the local park in the evenings, or, you know, at the weekends when the father has time, just sort of getting them out there, having that time to chat with their child and sort of just catch up on what's going on, not just in terms of the schoolwork, but also finding out, because this is precious time. This is when the father can also sort of find out, okay, so what's going on in my child's life, sort of what... what sort of friends is my sort of child mixing with? Is everything okay? Are there any issues? Because this is something, and this is really one of the very important things, to actually keep the channels of communication going. So not just, for example, so there's the one element, the educational thing, sort of maybe even, teaching our child some of the surahs of the Quran, or encouraging that, but really keeping the channels open so that we are, as parents, are the first to hear, or as fathers are the first to hear, what's going on in my child's life. So they always come to us with whatever is going on in their lives, inshallah. So I pray this is just sort of a refocus for all of us, just a reminder, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of A to Z here on Iron Bingish Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Journey into the unknown, from West Asia to Turkey, to the Greek islands, hoping to reach Europe illegally. It is considered one of the stories of illegal immigration faced by many refugees and migrants. This journey often starts from West Asia to the Turkish coast of Izmir, which is a departure point for many people trying to reach Europe, especially across the Aegean Sea, in an attempt to reach the Greek islands. Young Palestinian from Gaza. His story is part of the tragedy lived by the people of Gaza. It reflects the level of despair felt by these young men, despite their attachment to their land and their right to it. However, some see that seeking refuge in Europe is a temporary solution to financially support their families in Gaza and help them endure. Amir risks his life on an illegal journey, hoping to return one day to his occupied homeland under better conditions than today.
I travelled to help my family because of the recent war on Gaza. We lost our lands and our home, and my father and my fiancé were martyred. I travelled to support them, but after everything I witnessed here and the illness we suffered, we gained nothing. We'll return to Gaza after what I have seen here. I will take the residency and go back to Gaza because it is my homeland and I will never abandon it. I will not leave it to the Israelis.
The Gaza Strip has been under siege for years, and now it is experiencing genocide, forcing people to leave their land, but they refuse to do so and cling to their land despite the deteriorating economic situation, increasing unemployment rates, and lack of educational and professional opportunities. The residents also suffer from a severe shortage of basic resources such as electricity and water, in addition to the continuous destruction of infrastructure due to armed conflicts and ongoing wars. The people of Gaza face enormous challenges in building their future within the Strip and need support to continue resisting.
I traveled from Gaza alone on a visa to Turkey, then from there to Egypt, and later back to Turkey. I got in touch with a smuggler there, and we set off across the sea 8 times. We saw death with our own eyes until we reached Greece, hoping to live with dignity, but we regretted arriving there. No one understands the suffering of traveling by boat, except those who have gone through it. No matter how much I describe it, no one will feel what we went through. Many died at sea because of the Greek Coast Guard, who would shoot at us, take our phones and money, and send us back to the sea mercilessly.
Psychological distress that we see is really high. You have people crying, people shaking, people decompensating as well sometimes. And again, it's always linked to the fear of violence, the fear of being pushed back, the fear of being exposed again to not knowing what will happen, and most often to violence. So there is really those two components in this activity, the medical care, but as well the psychological care.
Israeli colonization of Palestine is the problem of West Asia. But the United States and the European Union have provided significant political, military, and financial support to Israel for decades. This support has contributed to solidifying Israel's military superiority and the continuation of its occupation of Palestinian territories. The United States, in particular, is considered Israel's biggest ally, providing billions of dollars annually in military aid and repeatedly using the veto power in the UN Security Council to prevent resolutions condemning Israeli policies. The European Union presents a more balanced stance on the surface, but practically it also supports Israel through trade agreements and strong diplomatic relations, with timid positions on the ongoing violations of Palestinian rights. Many believe that this support encourages Israel to continue its policies of occupation, settlement, and blockade, without fear of international accountability.
Very interestingly, and actually it shows how what's happening in Greece in terms of migration is linked to the broader picture and what happened outside. People from Gaza were actually one of, or the first community of people arriving in Greece before the 7th of October. People arrive in Europe, in Greece, indeed with a lot of traumatic experience, a lot of violence happened to them from country of origin to the transit country, to sometimes as well when just crossing the sea from Turkey to Greece. We provide psychological care. We have a few psychologists, and they either provide group session, but also individual session, trying to release a relief the suffering of those invisible wounds.
humanitarian organizations provide support to migrants on these islands, but the problem persists as it needs radical solutions at the level of European countries and international cooperation. The most important of these solutions is addressing the root causes of migration and developing comprehensive migration policies. The European Union has not provided significant support to Greece to help it face the refugee and migrant crisis that has flooded its lands in recent years.
Our team provides emergency medical assistance to people as they arrive on the shore of the island. We do this in close collaboration with authorities. There is a public information that notifies at the same time all authorities and all relevant actors that a group of people has landed and is in need of medical care. So then, based on our capacity, we deploy an emergency medical team to go and provide medical and psychological first aid.
The illegal immigration journey taken by Amir and others is not just an escape from a miserable reality, but also a search for solutions to earn money and support their families back home. Even if it is fraught with risks, it is, for them, a temporary solution until their situations improve in their countries. However, they say the only solution to the refugee problem is the end of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands and the establishment of peace in West Asia, which requires global international will and UN resolutions.
It is true that asylum is accepted for Palestinians, but the authorities do not cooperate with us at all. We do not enjoy any human rights inside the detention centers, where we suffer from harsh living conditions and widespread diseases with no real medical care. When I went to the hospital 5 times, I only received painkillers without a clear diagnosis of my condition. Life inside the camp is very difficult and inhuman.
The Mediterranean region is considered one of the main routes used by illegal migrants to reach Europe. Boats depart from Turkey and North African countries, such as Libya, Tunisia, and Morocco, heading toward the coasts of Italy, Spain, and Greece. This maritime route is fraught with danger, as thousands of migrants lose their lives at sea each year due to poor travel conditions and overcrowded boats. Political instability in some North African countries, like Libya, exacerbates the issue, as these nations serve as major departure points for migrants. On the other hand, Turkey is used as a gateway for illegal migrants crossing into Greece via the Aegean Sea. Despite agreements between the European Union and Turkey aimed at curbing the flow of migrants, thousands still manage to sneak into Europe through the Turkish-Greek border. These migrants do not stop in Greece, but continue along land routes through Bulgaria and the Balkans, eventually reaching Austria and Germany, where they seek asylum or economic opportunities. Amir met with traffickers and was promised an arrangement for his journey across the sea. These traffickers offer their services for large sums of money, and migrants are often in desperate situations, forcing them to accept the risks that could cost them their lives. The traffickers promise to get them to Europe, but in reality, they cannot guarantee the safety of the journey. After leaving Gaza, Amir set off on a maritime journey aboard a small boat, crammed with dozens of other migrants. The journey across the sea was fraught with dangers: rough waves, high heat, and harsh conditions on board the boat, all of which were unbearable challenges. Amir and his fellow travelers were on the brink of drowning as the boat had technical problems, and there was a shortage of food and water in addition to encounters with the Coast Guard.
I have many friends in Turkey, and we exchange information about the smugglers. There are areas like Izmir and Bodrum that are full of smugglers. The problem is that choosing the wrong smuggler could mean losing money or being deceived. There are different types of trips, with prices ranging from 1,500 to 4,000 euros. The fast boat is the best, as it takes only 10 minutes to reach the island, unlike the regular boats, which take hours and are more dangerous.
the living condition in the camp is contributing to the prevalence and the spread of preventable disease, including skin disease, respiratory infection, but also gastrointestinal illness that will mainly impact the most vulnerable, including the children. We are also seeing pregnant women who are in need of emergency medical care. The living condition also contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression. That's why MSF is providing services, primary health care, sexual and reproductive health, mental health support, but also legal and social services to assist asylum seekers and refugees in Samos.
Of course, when you talk about a population that is contained in camps where living conditions are precarious, you can only imagine how it exacerbates actually the risk for ill health. So you talked about the winter, for example, on Samos this year, the blankets, although it's a regular need, every year we need blankets when it gets cold, and it took a couple of months actually for people to receive blankets. So then usually what we see is a spike in respiratory infections. It's really concerning as well, because in those camps you have a number of more vulnerable population. There's a very high number of children, pregnant women or elderly, and of course they're more at risk of cold weather or in general climate conditions. And then in summertime you have the risk of dehydration, which is also having an impact on the health.
Migrants rely on traffickers who organize their journeys illegally on rickety boats crowded with passengers. These trips are often dangerous because the small boats may not withstand the harsh marine conditions or the large number of passengers. There have been many incidents in which victims have drowned or been injured due to the difficult weather conditions. During the journey, migrants face a major threat from the Greek Coast Guard, who try to intercept the illegally migrating boats. Reports speak of attempts to prevent them from reaching Greek shores, often through imposing legal penalties on the traffickers or returning migrants to Turkey. The problem of illegal migration to Europe through Greece has garnered widespread attention from global news agencies due to its danger and impact on both European countries and the migrants themselves. Greece is one of the main gateways for illegal migrants from the Middle East and North Africa who are trying to reach Europe by sea or through the land border with Turkey. These news agencies also discuss European policies regarding migration, the conflicts between countries like Greece and Turkey over migrant crossings, and the associated humanitarian challenges.
The reality is on the ground. On one hand, you have narrative explaining that, of course, migration policies need to be implemented in compliance with human rights or legal frameworks. But the reality is on the ground is that you see that the dysfunctioning of the system, whether it's the provision of assistance and services to the people inside the camp, whether it's the functionality of the asylum services. There is delay in the appointment, there is delay in the interviews, you have a lack of interpretation, lawyers are not being paid, which means that some interviews cannot take place. You have again blankets being delayed. So it's really a disconnection between the overall narrative and also the amount of fundings that is providing, and then what is actually happening on the ground.
Illegal migration from the Middle East to Europe is one of the main results of armed conflicts, prolonged occupations, and political and economic instability. Some of the key causes of these phenomena include the ongoing Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands and the resulting humanitarian and social crises, with the only solution being the end of the Israeli occupation of Palestine and the achievement of a just and comprehensive peace in West Asia.
There is no work in Gaza. We work all day just to be able to buy the simplest necessities, and even housing has become very expensive. For this reason, we risk leaving Gaza, hoping to provide a decent life for our families.
Detention centers on the Greek island of Samos are among the places that witness difficult humanitarian conditions for refugees and migrants trying to reach Europe. Samos Island is one of several Greek islands located in the Mediterranean Sea and is a key crossing point for migrants and refugees arriving from Turkey in dangerous sea journeys.
Regarding the restrictions in the camp, they are very limiting for us, especially in terms of entering and exiting. The time restriction for leaving and entering is from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and after 9 p.m., entry into the camp is not allowed. The second restriction is the tax on passports. Some people are unable to pay this tax, and there are individuals who have completed all their procedures, but the only obstacle left is paying this tax. Moreover, there are severe consequences for not paying the passport fee. If this tax is not paid, the entire process is halted, and no assistance is provided in any way. The procedure must then be restarted from the beginning, which is a major obstacle for those who have received approval for asylum.
Humanitarian organizations provide medical care in refugee camps and areas experiencing conflicts, such as treatment for infectious diseases, first aid, surgical treatment for injuries resulting from conflicts, and treatment for war-related injuries. Psychological care and support. Due to the harsh conditions faced by refugees, organizations provide psychological support and counseling to help them overcome the psychological trauma caused by wars or displacement. The organization works to provide vaccinations to prevent diseases that may spread in refugee areas, such as measles and cholera, through organized vaccination campaigns.
You're not aware that we're aware of your despair. Don't show your tears to your oppressor. Don't show your tears. Try not to cry.
David slew Goliath, this very same place that we'd be at. Passing through the sanitarium, this land been a victim of countless crimes. From crusaders, mongers, to the present aggression. Then the Franks, now even a cruel oppression. If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say. For me in this path that I walk on, there's only one way. Bullets may kill, bones may break. Still I throw stones like David before me, and I say,
try not to cry. Stand by you, try not to cry.
no pierdas la fe, la sé, la calma el que hace. Agua de la arena, y tú que te levantas con orgullo entre las piedras, has hecho mares de este polvo.
I throw stones at my eyes, for too long they've been dry. Lest they see what they shouldn't from oppressed babies to thighs. I throw stones at my tongue, cause shit should really keep its peace. I throw stones at my feet, cause they stray and lead to defeat. Couple of big ones at my heart, cause the thing is freezing cold. But my nub's still alive and kicking, unstoppable on a roll. I throw bricks at the devil, so I'll be sure to hit him. But first at the man in the mirror, so I can chase out the venom.
Little boy, shining ahead. Just another kiss and out to get some bread. Not the first murder, nor the last. Again and again, a repetition of the past.
Since the very first day, same story.
Young ones, old ones, some glory. How can it be? Has the whole world turned blind? Or is it just cause it's only affecting my kind? If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say? Me and this path that I walk on, there's only one way.
Bullets may kill, bones may break. Stand up those stones, like David I say.
Bullets may kill, bones may break. Stand up those stones, like David I say.
Try not to cry.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means...
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from...
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree, though...
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah.
Today's great tip, having fun in our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about having fun when it comes to our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. So, yes, of course, you know, you might be thinking, how is this even possible for an individual to have fun, to be excited about, and to really, you know, enjoy ubudiyah, the worship, the servitude, and the obedience to the Almighty Allah. You know, I mean, we enjoy sports, we enjoy movies, we enjoy cartoons, we enjoy music, we enjoy, you know, going to the park, we enjoy, you know, socializing with our friends and having fun and going out. we enjoy shopping. How in the world can we enjoy ubudiyya, the servitude and the worship and the obedience to the Almighty Allah? So first and foremost, I think we have the wrong perspective when it comes to what ubudiyya is. You know, of course, our very, you know, cliche perspective of ubudiyya is a very, I don't know, serious, strict, incredibly disciplined, organized beyond imagination, time management, you know, critical thinking, a very frowny face, when this is in reality not what ubudiyya is. If you look at the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, if you look at the infallible and immaculate Imams, alayhim as-salam, you will see that they were always very cheerful people. They were smiling at, you know, the people around them. They were friendly, you know, they were saying salam and salutations to other people. Matter of fact, it is recommended to, you know, be the first in saying salam. That means to be the first to greet other people, to be friendly with other people, to be welcoming towards other people. And this salam itself, you know, and greeting other people and smiling at other people, being friendly with other people, having a good demeanor with other people, being cheerful with other people, all this is ubudiyya. All of this is the worship of the Almighty Allah. All of this is being in servitude to the Almighty Allah, the obedience to the Almighty Allah. This is in essence ubudiyya, and it's a part of ubudiyya. To be like this, to be friendly, to be cheerful, to, you know, brighten the day of another human being, to bring sunshine to the day of another human being. These are all parts of ubudiyya. Because we have the wrong perspective that we think that this isn't ubudiyya. Anything that is done for the sake of the Almighty Allah is considered to be ubudiyya.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
You know, whatever we do, it's a very beautiful way Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri puts it, because it's important to keep in mind that even when we talk about doing things in order to help the community, so you're doing it, you are helping yourself also, but in the process you're also fulfilling a need for the community, and that there the niyat is very important. And sometimes the niyat becomes an issue which is linked to the concept of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri very beautifully puts it. He says, to work for oneself is egoism. If you're doing something just for yourself, it's for your own satisfaction. This is your ego. And you get this as a satisfaction, but don't expect anything from him. If you work for the people to please them, then he puts it in a way, he says, to work for the people is idolatry. You are doing it for them. To work for God and people, this is the fine line, we have to be careful about it. He says, to work for God and people is shirk. And this is where you come to the point, to do the people's work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawheed. And even to include yourself and God there, it's kind of a shirk. What you have to do, we have to have this intention that I'm doing for the sake of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the process, of course, you're fulfilling your needs of your family, of your community, but this is where it becomes tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person who used to travel for his business to foreign land during the days of the sixth Imam, and his companions used to say, that, you know, you go to this land of the mushrikeen. If you die there, if you're buried there, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised with the mushrikeen. And so he became very afraid. And sometimes people have this thought. You know, I'm told in 60s, until Aburujardi sent an alim to go to Japan. He stayed there just a few days and he came back. He said, if I die there, what will happen to me? You know, so sometimes people have that kind of, you know, thinking. And this is where Imam told him something. He says, when you go there for your business, do you remember us? Do you talk about us? Do you talk about our deen? And he says, wherever I get the opportunity, yes, I talk about it. I talk about my faith, my deen, my imams. He says, if that is the case, then don't worry. Even though you die in the bilad of shirk, in the land of shirk, when you will be raised like an individual ummah on your own. Because you connected your work with this thought that I'm going there, doing my business, but wherever the opportunity comes, I'm also going to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the madhab of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. And so this is very important that you can take your own activity without changing anything. The only change has to be the focus and how you connect that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where you will be rewarded for it in this dunya and the akhirah also.
Welcome back, dear friends. So we are talking about how our ubudiyya, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to the Almighty Allah should be fun and exciting, and it should, you know, be a part of our daily enjoyment. And that's the way we have to look at it. You know, when we look at ubudiyya as something that is fun, something that is exciting, something that is something that we can enjoy, I mean, then it will radically, you know, I mean, change the way we look at it and the way that we engage in ubudiyya. You know what I mean? So if we consider the five daily prayers that are wajib to be something to enjoy, to be something that is fun, to be something that is, you know, considered to be a golden opportunity to connect with the Almighty Allah, then how much excitement is there in that prayer? Now, of course, you know, it is a religion of balance. So it's not like, you know, we stand up for prayers completely intoxicated with this, you know, love for the Almighty Allah, even though that's there. At the same time, you know, we have to be balanced and harmonious, and we realize that we're standing in front of the Creator. You know, He is the Master and the Creator and the King of the universe and the Creator of the universe and the Master of the Day of Judgment, and, you know, so that kind of at the same time brings kind of a seriousness to the whole situation at the same time. But that should not make the ubudiyya in general to be something that is not fun, something that is dry, something that is boring, something that is tedious, something that has become a habit or a ritual, because that will diminish the strength and the power and the potency and the, you know, of the ubudiyya that we're trying to engage in. And so we have to look at it in this manner. We have to realize that just like all of the other things in our life that we enjoy, right? I mean, there's something in that activity that we do that makes us enjoy that activity. We like something in that activity, you know. We like playing sports because it makes you feel good. We like socializing with people because it makes you feel good. And in the same sense, ubudiya in any of its dimensions. Over the course of our, you know, discussions, we've always talked about how there's formal ubudiya and informal ubudiya. Informal ubudiya pretty much, you know, involves everything else that we do that kind of, you know, our morals, our behaviors, our actions, how we talk with one another, how we socialize, you know. If we're doing it for the sake of the Almighty Allah, then that too falls under the umbrella of ubudiyya. But we should enjoy it. It should be exciting, and it is exciting, you know. It brings tranquility, it brings peace. And so when we realize these very beautiful, positive, spiritual, fun, exciting, and joyful, you know, aspects of ubudiyya, it will help us to engage in a deeper and more profound ubudiyya, a more profound worship and servitude and obedience to Allah. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Foresight. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
The whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
یه وقت آدم در حرم رو میبوسه فکر میکنم به عشق امام رضا در حرم میبوسه به عشق حضرت علوی امام حسین داره.
Sometimes a person is kissing the shrine thinking they are kissing it out of love of Imam Reza, out of love for Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam al-Hussein. But they come into the courtyard and do not kiss the wooden door. It is clear that their pilgrimage is because of the gold, that is the golden dome. We must seek refuge in someone who knows what we are made of, because sometimes a person does not even know himself.
من ممکنه 10 تا سخنرانی برای عدالت بکنم که همه مردم میگن به به.
I might give 10 speeches about justice and everyone says, bravo, what a great speech. But if you are given a sheep or a goat and told to distribute its meat, I take the kebabs for myself. That is, I give 10 speeches about justice, but in distributing the goats, I am not just because I take this kebab for myself. God knows what we are. A person does not know himself. Therefore, the Quran says, your side today will be piercing. On the day of resurrection, when secrets are revealed, eyes will be opened. Your side will be iron. Your side today will be piercing, means your side on the day of resurrection will be iron. It will shock you. What? Was this me? I thought I was a good person. No, you are not good. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Greetings from Iran Radio. Here's a quick look at what's still ahead on your favorite station, thoughtfully curated to keep you informed, inspired, and connected. We begin with news. Right after the news, we invite you to listen to Spring of Truth. Next, enjoy a fresh edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Coming up next, news this hour. Stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli military keeps violating the Gaza ceasefire by launching artillery and airstrikes on various locations in the besieged Palestinian territory. New York City's mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani slams Washington for militarily and financially supporting the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. And the Russian president voices Moscow's readiness for resumption of talks to end the conflict with Kyiv. Putin warns that without peace talks, Ukraine risks losing all out.